be no regular fella and no regular gal. We gonna be off the chain, as it were. Hebrews chapter 11 was my intended follow-up. I thought that watch night would be a little different, but it was my follow-up, so I'm gonna stick with it. Amen. We'll be gone here shortly. Hebrews chapter 11, and I have a New Living Translation Bible here, and pray that you'll come along with us. You come down to verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11. Again, it's good to see all of you. God bless you. Thank you for coming to church today and sharing with us, and pray to see you all year long. My mother and my grandmother, them, They used to say things, and I guess it doesn't hold fast anymore, but they used to say things like, however you start out the year, that's what you'll be doing all year long. I've come to learn that some stuff just don't stick to church folk. Amen. We don't stick and stay like worldly folk do, but we ought to want to do better this year. And so I thought I'd start out this year with something to help us. Again, a few hours ago, and now I'm going to help you a little bit more, and I'm going to go back home and try to get a little better. Amen. Hebrews 11, just a couple of verses, and we'll get right on into it. It's beginning at verse 1, Sandra, it says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to the people in days of old because of their faith. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach. Don't mess with a good thing. Don't mess with a good thing. In the New Living Translation Bible, there are different publishers of this particular version. In fact, of most every version, there's more than one publisher. There is another version that I pulled up because it says something very akin to what I want to talk about for a little bit here. And in verse 2, it reads a little differently. It actually says in verse 2, through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. And I thought that meant something. I thought that ought to say something to us. Apparently not, but I thought it ought to say something. I thought that if there is anything we can correlate to today, or if there's anything we can find a sense of unity in on this first Sunday, is that we all want to protect our reputation. Many of us are known for certain character qualities, and people say things about us along those lines, and we really treasure that. We ascribe to it. We kind of want to hold on to that. When we were young, our parents would say things to us like, you got to mind the company that you keep. You don't want to have a bad name. Our names meant something. You know, the time when your family name was guarded very well. And I don't intend to inflict any emotional trauma on anybody. I don't want to take you down negative family memory lanes, but we were so adamant about it that when, as they used to say down south where I grew up at, if a young lady got in trouble, we packed her up and sent her to live with family up north, because we wanted to protect the family name. We didn't make young boys go nowhere. we packed up our daughters and nieces and such and sent them to live with a relative up north until such time that they could come back and all would seemingly be forgotten or forgiven. We are so adamant about our names that when people mess up big in our families, we almost treat them as if they are IMF agents. And we disavow any knowledge of their former existence. We label people black sheep, and we scorn and buke them, as it were. And we push them away because they have made our name bad. We do things in the church that I do not understand. And I don't think anybody can write a book and explain it to me as to why we conduct ourselves in certain flawed behaviors in the body of Christ. But we're messing up a good thing. God loves us so much that he gives us new days. And not just some of us, but all of us. When we say this is the day that the Lord has made, it applies to everybody. I thought y'all would smile right there. God woke us up this morning and started us on our way. God put food on our tables and God put clothes on our back. Look around and see what great things the Lord has done. In fact, you ought to encourage your neighbor and tell him you're looking blessed today. Amen. You ought to feel good about you. There you go. That's better. You ought to feel good about yourself. You're looking blessed. You look prosperous today. God has obviously been good in your house overnight. And we are given keys to the kingdom. And here's the interesting thing about God, Sandra, when he gives us these proverbial keys to the kingdom, they are given to us not based on future performance, but past reputation. Y'all missed the shout right there. Because some of us would have to admit, y'all come on. Some of us would have to admit that we've done more harm than we've done good. Amen. We sing a song in the church that says, he didn't have to let me live. He didn't have to let me live, but I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Y'all know that song. We sing unto God songs of sorrow and repentance. And really, God is saying, oh, I know you messed up, but I'm bigger than that. I mean to know that God is bigger than you messing up. Amen. Amen. Okay, some of y'all know. I hope all of you know in a minute. God has a reputation. The old saints really kept it simple. But the Hebrew writer helps us in this letter. When you have a chance to read over it, please do. But there's a line in the 10th chapter where he says, but we have a high priest. And what I like about it is he says that this high priest does not give up anything in his royalty or in his majestic flavor, but he's still high, but yet so high that he still is touchable by us. Oh man, that ought to get you excited right there. He says he's a high priest, but he's just such a regular guy that he allows us to enter in just because we know the high priest. And then he says something, Brother McKenzie, that really gets me excited. He says, and the only prerequisite to gaining access, entry, and audience with him is to trust him. Man, I wish, bad as I feel, y'all ought to help me. I mean, he says, you know, it doesn't matter if you've messed up, really, Because all of us have messed up. Isn't that something? All of us have messed up. Isn't that something? All of us have messed up. Isn't that something? It ain't 12 hours in the new year and all of us, isn't that something? And he said that he allows us, just based on our limited interpretation of trust, to come sit down and have a little talk with him. Still the high priest, but not so highfalutin and so standoffish that he does not allow us, mere mortals, messed up people with flaws, errors, and schisms. People who, as my grandmother used to say, just soon climb a tree to tell a lie than stay on the ground and tell the truth. People who do things for no good reason. Y'all don't know nobody like that. But he says, you know, he's got a reputation. And he don't want to mess up his reputation just because y'all raggedy. How many know that God ain't going to let you mess up his reputation? Nudge your neighbor and say, you raggedy, but his reputation means something to him. It means something to him. It means something to him, so much so that he says that you ought to build up your faith and start trusting him at the level of which your faith won't let you down. Amen. I feel a little better. Some of us may not realize this. Just now, but whenever there is a deviation, whenever there is a falling off, if you will, a declining energy in faith, it's on you. It's not on God. God will never, ever, ever let you down. No, he won't do it. Some of y'all don't believe me. Nobody's going to convince me that God's going to let us down. He says, I'm going to pretty much be the same yesterday and today and tomorrow as well. I'm going to be the same. And then the writer says, and there's another one here, and I'll be done. Writer says, so whatever happens, don't mess up a good thing. He says, whatever you do, don't ever stop trusting in God. Yeah. He said, you throw away a whole lot of stuff. You can stop hanging out with certain people. You can get out of the choir if you have to. You can stop being an usher if you have to. You don't want to be a Sunday school teacher. That's fine. He said, but whatever you do, do not stop trusting God. In fact, he said, don't throw that away. Some of y'all have already started cleaning up your house after that Christmas mess. You done took your tree down and you done took your tinsel down and you got them little leaves, needles all over the place. They highly recommend that you not vacuum them up because it'll mess up your vacuum cleaner. So you got to sweep them up old school. But you're taking all that stuff down now. And some of y'all said, you know, I ain't going to put up this foolishness next year. I'm just going to go and throw this away. Buy me some more next year. And so there's some things y'all have already begun throwing away. Some of you didn't quite get what you wanted from people who love you, and you trying to figure out a way to make it disappear so they don't notice it. You know, you're going to say it went to the cleaners and didn't come back, or they shrunk it or something. But there's some throwaway, you know, there's some throwaway things happening. Some of us made our resolutions, you know, a couple days ago, and we were very methodical about it. You know, we sat down and said to ourselves, we'll make me some ironclad resolutions. Make me some good ones this year. I'm going to make some that I can hold fast to in the profession of my faith. I'm going to stick and stay this year. And here it is, about 11 hours into the new year, And y'all done ate two cheeseburgers, a bowl of chitlins, cornbread, and collard greens, and say, well, I tried. On your way to church, somebody cut across you on 29, and you lifted up holy hands right out the sunroof, and you tried. You got a call already from your supervisor and said, listen, I know you're supposed to be off, but we're going to need you to come in tomorrow. And you tried. But in reality, none of that ain't the issue. And y'all mean well. I know you do. I'm one of those. I mean well. My wife told me the other day, said, we're going to go on a fast. I said, how fast we got to go? She said, you trying to be funny. I figured I need to know these things because there's certain things I don't want to go fast as it relates to. All these pies around here, and we going to fast? Let's wait till all this stuff gone. Make it a little easier on ourselves. I mean, you know, ain't no need to complicating the tables, you know. And, she said, you know, we going to lose some weight. I said, where we going to hide it so in case I need to find it, you know. But I thought about y'all, and preaching came to mind. There are some things we really need to work on, and we ought to start early. And so one of the things, and I'm about done, one of the things I thought we kind of work on is this thing about our faith. I said last night, that there should be no ordinary days for us. We're too complex and too consecrated a people to relegate ourselves to simplicity all the time. I really believe that God wants to do some tremendous things in all of our lives if we'll let him. And I think that the measure for us, the true conduit of this course that we will undertake will come because of our faith. Can I read a little bit here? It says, what is faith? It's right there in verse 1 of chapter 11. He said, what is it? And before we can mess it up, this is what I like about the Bible, Eric. The Bible won't let you mess it up because whatever they ask you, they give the answer right then. I told y'all a long time ago that this is an open book test. He said, what is faith? And before they can mess it up, he said, it is the confident assurance. And I like this part, that what we hope for is going to happen. Nudge your neighbor and say, God's going to make it happen. Yeah, God's going to make it happen. That's why I told you this morning that there can be no ordinary day. God is always mixing it up on our behalf. God is always giving us an unfair advantage. Because whatever we're hoping for, notice what it said. It didn't say the pastor's going to make it happen. Didn't say the deacons would make it happen. It didn't say that you'd make it happen. It said that what we hope for is going to happen. Now, it does not say specifically, it doesn't have God's name there, but we know where our faith is rooted. Okay, all y'all didn't know that. Let me tell you, your faith is in God. Old saints can help me right here. When we sing that song, it says, our hope is built on nothing less. Our faith is right there. Our faith and hope are first cousins. And whatever we are desiring of God, God is going to make it happen. Okay, I thought y'all would get excited. Y'all don't want nothing. Then if you don't want nothing, let me tell you about some stuff I want, and you can want it with me. How about that? If your want list ain't got nothing on it, let me give you some stuff on mine, and you can want with me some of the stuff I want. Y'all ain't talking to me. Because I believe that the God I serve wants to make it happen. I believe God wants to elevate us, and God wants to take us deeper and wider and make us stronger and faster and more vibrant and more visible. I believe God wants his church to shine like a million stars.
God wants us to love each other and get along with each other and help each other and pull and tug and make our children strong and make our marriages stronger. God wants to do something. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of a movement.
There's that song we sing in school. They taught us, you know, that lift every voice and sing. And then it said to sing each moment, to laugh each moment. And then it said, then let it begin with me. To live each moment. To love each. Y'all don't know that song. Why y'all looking at me like that? About to pass out sweating, and y'all don't know what I'm saying up here.
I want to be a part of a movement. And I want it to begin with me. And I realize that if I am going to be a part of the movement, I can't be the part that stops the movement. I want to be the part that gives motivation and energy to the movement. I want to be the chugga-chugga in the choo-choo. I want to be the picking them up and putting them down, because I believe that God is still trying to bless us. I don't think we run out of blessings yet.
Since it's a new day.
And Bible said daily he loadeth us with benefits. Tell you, David said, that's where that cup runneth over thing come from. Every day God is just. Any of y'all ever been in a restaurant where the hostess keep filling up your cup before you can drink enough out of it? Get on my nerves. Don't let me, you know, you drink a little bit and put it down and here they come again. And you're like, all right. And then you drink a little bit more and here they come again. And then finally you wind up putting your hand over the top of it. And then they leave, you know, and then they don't come back. And then somebody at the table say, see there? Look at them and say, see there? What you saying, Pat? Don't cut off God blessing you. God trying to keep your cup running over, and you don't even understand the biblical benefit of a cup running over. He ain't losing nothing by making your cup overflow. You ain't losing nothing by letting him fill it up. Let him make it overflow. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God gonna make it rain up in here. So you shouldn't mess up a good thing. Then he says, well, what is it? He says, it's because we're looking for some evidence. I think we've been guilty around here of not having evidence. We stop looking like a church. We stop sounding like a church. Amen, we're guilty. We stop thriving like a church. We start looking like organizations and clubs and stuff. We didn't sound churchy enough. We would be called into the tribunal. They would dismiss our case for lack of evidence. They would say, how we know y'all a church? Y'all don't look churchy. Y'all don't sound churchy. Y'all ain't giving churchy. Y'all ain't talking to me. We were falling off on our evidentiaries. But nudge your neighbor and say, we about to ramp this thing up now. We going all church. We gonna have church and look like a church. Our services gonna sound like a church, and we gonna walk in looking like we coming to church and walk out like we've been to church, and we gonna love folk like we the church, and all that God is doing, God will get the glory because it came out of his church. Nudge your neighbor and say, don't deny us good church. Cheat us out of no good church. You didn't bring no church with you. I got a little extra in my pocket right here. You know, back in the day, mom and them always carried a little something extra in their pocketbook. Women had everything in their pocketbook. Spare tire, pistol, shotgun. You sit there with your mama, she reach up in that pocketbook, she bring out a whole lot of stuff. Because she said, you just never know what's going to happen. And so We want to build our evidence. And here's what's interesting. He said that the evidence should never have been based on what we could see. It was based on our faith. We just should have believed God for being greater. What happened to us, I wonder, when we stopped believing God for greater? It's in our name. It's always been right there in front of us, and something happened to us. It started in small ways. Something happened to our songs. Something happened to our musicians. Something happened to us. And we didn't pay attention to it. We started messing up our reputation. We were messing with a good thing. And we should not have done that. So we owe God an apology. We really ought to tell God we're sorry. Because we were not a good example of what an evidentiary church should sound and feel like. Our walls should be singing when nobody's here. There ought to be a certain movement that does not have to be fabricated in the church, a certain sense of love and camaraderie, because we are the church. And so he tells them, he says, well, you're going to have to make sure that you don't mess up this good thing. So Howell, I'm going to leave you now. There's a corrective fix here. Are you interested? Right along here. You ought to start writing some stuff down, or at least try and remember what I'm getting ready to tell you. Try to spend a lot less time this year repeating myself, because I know it's going to be good when I say it the first time. Okay. I thought y'all would take that. But it is. The first thing, what we need to understand is that, and write this down now, because this is critical. There's nothing wrong with you as a disciple when you got to fix things. See how quiet y'all got right there? There's nothing wrong with you when we have to fix things, because we'll always be facing issues that mean we got to fix something. We're not a bad church because we have internal problems. Every church as internal problem. Our problem is we didn't know how to fix it. We went about it the wrong way. All of us are going to be challenged in our faith. So when you get sick, or because you lose that job, or your marriage gets in trouble, that means there's something wrong. There's something you got to fix. See how quiet y'all is? All of us are going to have to face issues that challenge our faith. God, listen, stay with me. This is a good one. God does not have a problem being challenged in the process. God doesn't have a problem with that. The problem is when you quit on the process. You're not the first one that's going to have questions for God as it relates to why you're going through stuff. And why is this happening in my church? Or why is my pastor doing that? Or why? No. Don't ever think that means you are a disfavorable disciple. No, in fact, God only challenges folk so that they might meet the challenge. Let me help you understand. So if there is no challenge to your faith, you don't have enough faith to meet the challenge. And God, rather than break you, would just put you in time out. Did y'all hear me? God is not going to, come here, Joe. Joe's minding his own business. Ain't bothering nobody. Getting his hair cut every week. By and check on his livestock, go by the feed store, sit up there and chew the fat with the fellas a little bit, you know. Everybody know Joe got it going on. You know, Joe ain't bothering nobody. And Joe don't even see it coming. Joe is minding his own business, and Satan just showed up at the meeting with God. He just showed up, walked in there, and the Lord said, where you been? He said, just kind of kicking it out, you know, roaming to and fro. Looking for a little something to get into. You know, it's Friday. Ain't got nothing to do. God says, well, that's good. He says, you haven't been challenged by anybody? He said, nah, man. He said, most people I run into, ain't got no problem with them. Let me tell you why most of us don't run into Satan. Can I tell you why you don't run into Satan? Because y'all going the same way. That's why most of us don't have no encounters with Satan, because we're going the same way. Is that quiet y'all got right there? So he said, I got somebody. If you really want to see if you got it going on, and I got it going on. He said, have you tried Job? He said, oh, yeah, I know him. And notice what he said, God, Audrey. He said, the only reason Job act like he do, because you got him in the witness protection program. You got a hedge around him. He said, but you take that hedge off of him. Let that Negro have some real problems and watch what he'll do. God said, all right. And Satan said, oh, yeah, we're going to see how this goes. And sure enough, he goes and you know the story. But Job doesn't do what Satan said he was going to do. Satan tried to go back and get an addendum. He said, well, God, I forgot to say something. Generally, you know, that's how Satan is. He always want to add something. He said, well, generally, yeah, he did all right. He said, but make it personal. Stop calling him like you do and stop hanging around with him and make him feel alone and idle. And watch what happens. I said, all right. He said, but however, Don't put your hand on his health plan. You can talk about him and start in trouble. You know, I don't know his wife that well, but I've heard she easy to flake out. So you might want to start right there. But don't think that because you run into trouble that you're a dysfunctional disciple. And so y'all know how that story goes. And then the issue comes for us that we are all supposed to be tested. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of us, pastors, elders, deacons, ministers, everybody is supposed to be tested. See how quiet y'all is? I'm going to leave you alone. You know, but if you don't test things, how you know what you got? Huh? Some of y'all right now, you going down the road, you have flat tire, you're going to find out your spare tire flat. Because you ain't tested it in a while. You ain't checked. You ain't been back there since they sold you the car. Some of y'all don't even know how to get the thing out the car. And you're going to sit there on the side of the road and cuss because the tire flat. And you're going to say, them people gave me a flat tire. That tire been in that car since Herbert Hoover was president. You do have to check that every now and then. But you don't test things. You don't like being tested, so you don't test nothing. It's a bother to you. It's an inconvenience to you. But how many know that an inconvenience in a convenient time is a better inconvenience than at an inconvenient time? In other words, go on and dig all that junk out your trunk, check the tire, and then say, at least I know. And meanwhile, don't put all that stuff back in there either. And so we're going to have to discover that we face issues as related to our faith. Two things have to happen. First of all, these issues are meant to humble you. Oh, boy. My poor, don't nobody want to talk to me. Some of y'all too arrogant, too puffed up. Some of y'all too big for your own britches. And God going to do some stuff to bring you down a peg or two. And you ain't going to like it because you're going to think you don't deserve to be treated like that. You've been a good disciple. You want to tell God that. You ever notice how whenever folk get in trouble, all want to tell how good they've been. But they don't ever tell all the other stuff either. You know, all that good you're talking about, but keep talking. My grandmother used to say, let them keep talking. They'll get around to it. And what happens to us in faith-related issues is the humility is the hard part. It's the hard part. Because when you ask God for something that you lack, you have to admit you didn't have it. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, we want to walk around always talking about how wonderful we are, and I'm this, and I can do all things, and greatest. Okay, that's fine. Anybody can stay dry when it ain't raining. Don't nobody fall in the mud on a dusty road. But let the storm come. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, humility is a good character, especially among saints. Nudge your neighbor and say, I don't even know what to say to you right now. Because humility. See, God was trying to humble us back there. And some of us took it the wrong way. God had to do some stuff in our lives, and some of us caught the attitude with God. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always somebody else's fault. It was yours. God wasn't trying to get at them. He was trying to get to you. It's just that you kept making so much noise that you became a spectacle. And then when everybody else started noticing your arrogance and your y'all ain't talking to me. God tried to humble you on the low, but no, it was always somebody else. All right, you playing me, but I got you. And then the other thing is, Dean McKenzie, is that we have to be honest. Some of us ain't never passed a honest test, let alone take the lie detector. You can get that. We just got to be honest. Why? Because the disciples, here's what happened. There's a moment when the disciples are in a crisis. I'm about finished. They're in a crisis, Audrey. And the Lord has gone up with Peter, James, and John, the sons of thunder, and they got it going on. You know, they're up there. Things going very well for them. And the other disciples are not having such a good day. And you know how it is. We don't want the master to come back and find out we done flunked, you know, we done punched. And so when Jesus comes back, the man just goes around them, says, excuse me, sir, but I brought this boy to your disciples. And, you know, they sit there feeling some kind of way now. They're humbled. See? They're not happy. Two things will always get to us. Exposure and inadequacies. I wish I had time. If he'd have went out, see, if they could have got Jesus to leave as soon as he got back, this would have never came up. And can I tell you, that's some of us keep trying to do in Greater Brookville Church. We keep trying to move stuff so Jesus won't see it. But we come out a whole lot better. We just would let him see it when he saw it. And we could have been over that by now. But see, we've been lying to him. We've been trying to tell him everything's fine. That ain't how it went down. Yes, it is. And Jesus standing looking at us saying, why y'all didn't just tell me what's going on? Y'all ain't talking to me. And so exposure and inadequacy, because they couldn't do it. And there are some things, church, that we will never be able to do until we become greater. Not saying we're greater, but we're going to have to be greater to do greater. You can't just talk a good game. You got to know how to play it. And by the rules. And so they come. And so Jesus and he said, I brought him, and these bucket heads couldn't do nothing. That's what he might as well call them, bucket head. And they stand over there, you know, Peter, James, and John probably going, should have went with us. Y'all went up there with us, you wouldn't have that problem. We didn't get invited. And so the rest of them stand over there feeling some kind of way. See, y'all, listen, how y'all looking at me? That's what I'm talking about. So, a whole lot of y'all in this church right now, you feeling some kind of way because you wouldn't admit to God that you didn't have what you needed to get done what he left you to do. It ain't no coincidence that situation happened on their watch. That's what's wrong with y'all. Too many of y'all sitting around here, every time something happened, instead of you looking for the ministry, you're trying to create madness. A whole lot of stuff that God has allowed to happen is to develop us. So the next time it happened, we'll have a history. And we won't get swayed by it. Oh, no, we don't seen that before. This ain't the first time that happened. We know how to handle this. You don't believe me? That's why the Bible said this kind comes but by. See, there's a lesson. See how quiet y'all is? Sick as I am, y'all make me work this hard. So Jesus said, okay, okay, we got this. Notice he does not embarrass them. They feel enough embarrassment by themselves. Can I give you one more? Jesus never, ever sets out to embarrass you. What he's trying to do is stretch you out. You know why he stretches you out? So you can be as big as he is. See, you're always too small. God got to stretch you out. So he said, come here. And so when the day is about quiet, here's what it is. They go to him and say, Lord, why? I'm about finished. Some of y'all, rather than resigning, throwing a hissy fit, a tantrum, stirring up poop in the church, why don't you just go ask him why? Just and don't ask me. I don't know why. Don't be, Pastor, I'm going to go ask that. I don't know. Tell you, I'm glad I don't have to know everything. I got my own why list. Some of y'all own it. Lord, why? And so they said, okay, Lord, help us. Notice what they did not say. They didn't say promote us. They didn't say give us another car. They didn't say move us to another church. They didn't say put so-and-so out the choir. They didn't say get that heff out my face. They didn't say if he stepped to me, one, they didn't say none of that. And can I give you an inside tip? You shouldn't be saying that kind of stuff either. Hey, your response to God should not be ungodly. Stop asking God to do ungodly stuff and expect a godly house. Can I tell you something? Somebody gonna always get on your nerves. Can you be honest and admit you get on your nerves? That time when I don't even like me. Y'all know I like me. I'm serious. That time when I just tell me to go sit down. You know why? Because I know I'm acting crazy. I had to go tell myself, Donald, Leroy, just go sit your long black self down somewhere and shut up. Because you ain't no time to try to be pastor and be deep. Because you just go sit down. You ain't got nothing you ought to say about nothing. Just sit down. And let God humble me. This ain't my church. This God's church. This ain't my deacon. This God deacon. And so he says, all right, come here. Let me help you. Because I got a good reputation. Anybody know God know how to help people? Okay, five of y'all know. Let me see the rest of y'all. Ask somebody. Ask your neighbor. Don't come to me. Ask your neighbor. Does anybody here realize that in 2017, God wants to help you? Okay, some of y'all getting it. I'm trying one more time. I'm at the end of my paper. You, listen, here's what you need to understand. Because he purchased you, he's willing to perfect you. Oh, come on. All right, let me see if I can make this work. How many of y'all have ownership of something that matters to you? And don't you try to make it a little better? You wipe it off, you know, and you know, spit and polish, you know, you how many of y'all have a furniture in your house that accumulates dust? And you get your little dust thing, you know, your little Swiffer, you know, I like them little commercials, and I'm trying to see why they don't ever show up to my house, because I be doing the same thing, doing commercials. You know, I be saying, ooh, the dog has left hair everywhere. Ooh, that's hard to reach. I'm waiting on my doorbell to ring in a big box. You know, it ain't came to my house yet. But, you know, they little Swiffer thing, because you want to keep it up, you know. And so it amazes me. I feel it now. It amazes me how we will attend to earthly things and allow ourselves to fall into spiritual disrepair and wonder why we ain't feeling like we used to feel. You ain't attending to it. He purchased us, so let him perfect us. And that which is unlike him, let him process that out. so he can bring into us more of him. And so it is. He said, well, there are some corrective things. You need to understand that you will always face faith issues. You're going to have to be humble and you have to be honest. You'll have to admit that what you don't have, only God's got it. And you're going to have to understand that there is some piercing in the process. It's going to hurt. Oh, yeah. You know, you do know that you're not the Teflon Don. All of you going to have to say, ouch, if you really going to stay in this journey. I'm about finished now. All of us in this church, ain't nobody in here perfect. I ain't going to even try to get myself in that one. You lot try to get myself a way in. I can't even get no way in with that one. I ain't perfect either. Hard it is for me to say that. I didn't want to have to go public on that one, but I'm in a place too. So God is helping us, and so in order for us to not mess up this good thing, we're gonna have to learn how to endure the hardness, that we'll become good soldiers. I'm feeling a little better, but I can't get what I want out of it, but I'm going to make my sense here and then I'm done. Please understand that they're looking to get better. And so the first thing is, and I wish I had enough time, but the first thing, Eric, is that you have to have a desire that is developmental and not detrimental. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying it ain't about you. You want us to have better choir, you got to be better choir. You want to be a better church school teacher, a better usher, but you got to have a desire that's not divisive and detrimental. It's got to be so that all of us can get better together. Ain't nobody looking for you to be the star and deacon. Ain't nobody looking for you to get all the stars. Everybody want to come up. See how quiet y'all is? Your desires can't be selfish. If you're going to be in a community church. And so what you desire must be developmental, but not detrimental nor divisive. It has to be about a union of people. So when you sing better, teach somebody else how to sing better. When you start being on time, teach somebody else how to be on time. Y'all ain't talking to me. When you get your marriage straight and your children are all wonderful, Don't start going nanny nanny boo boo and looking at other folk going, you got some bad children. I almost said what I won't say, but you got to say, listen, let me help you, because I've been there. Yes, sir. And so we can't be detrimental and divisive. Second thing, again, I wish I had time. I was going to preach all of these, but I'm tired. The second thing you have to understand is you got to let God manage so you don't mismanage. Yes, sir. Uh huh. Faith acquisition must be strong and deliberate, but it must come under your development and duty. You owe God that. Y'all hear what I said? It cannot be that you know how to do all of this. You're mismanaging. Let God do it. Turn it over to the Lord, and he worked it out. Oh, yeah. You understand, he helps them. It's right in the text. He said, God gave approval. God is not going to approve a mess. No, it's right in the text. He gave approval to them folk. Why? Because they got it right. You're mismanaging children. We have taken what could have been so easy, so simple. And we jacked it up. Because we start thinking we were smarter than the system. And the system works when you work the system. And so he said, Lord, help us. And so what they desired when they came to him, they had to admit that there are some things we just don't do well. Mm-hmm. Somebody messed around and told us how good we sound one Sunday. Told us that we look good and we preach good and and we stop relying on the Lord and start lying on ourselves. Lying to ourselves. We became mismanagers. And then, so you have to understand, then last thing is, you have to understand this one, and this is good. All of our dependencies and determinations are in him. Now, I know that sounds simple, but it is. Because I can't do it without him. And if I'm going to have any progressive mindsets toward pressing on the upward way or climbing Jacob's ladder or every round goes, those determinations must rest and rely in Christ Jesus. Because anytime I start relying on myself, I start lying on him. And so we can't just talk about faith. We're going to have to start living. And there's a course, there's a painful course that all of us are going to have to take. And we've got to take it quickly, because if we don't, we're going to mess up a good thing. I am convinced of God that we are yet still alive. I mentioned this a few hours ago in the Watch Night celebration with the nine of y'all that came, that a friend of mine died the other day. Just as young as I am, just as vibrant, had a beautiful family just like I have, just took his daughter down the aisle in marriage, ready to retire, double dip, and he's gone. We don't know why. We don't know what happened yet, but he was a good man. Belonged to Good Shepherd Church there in Petersburg, where my friend Bishop Jeffrey Reeves is pastor. But he's dead. There's nothing else Bobby Wells can do. But why are we still here? I told him last night that 374,000 plus people are born in 24 hours. 274,000 die. We net about 156,000. And the fact of the matter is, why are you still here? Don't you believe that God is saying something to you about him and you doing something together? The Bible said that there is no praise from the grave. I know to live is Christ and to die is gain, but I'm trying to do something while I'm here. And so my question, I'm done. I wish I had it. I wish I could do it like I want to. But my question to you is, why are you here? Why did God let you live? Why did God wake you up this morning, start you on your way? Why did God put breath in your body? Why did God allow your golden moments to roll on? It's got to be more than it's all about you. Why are you still here? And then just first putting on the hit of the year. If you don't know him by now, you may never, ever know him. But you ought to get to know him. There's so much we can do together. Man, we can take this church and bring God so much glory just by doing simple things. That's why there can be no ordinary days. None of us should wake up another day and saying ho-hum, oh well, I guess. No, God wants to use us to build him a great name, to be the first among our kindred to get it right. You are light and salt. You're still alive. Because there is yet a greater glory that's coming from your life. Y'all should have got happy about yourself right there. I'm telling you now that the reason you're still sucking in air and blowing air out is because God is still getting a greater glory out of your life. It ain't about the job. It's not the house. It's not the car. It's not the children. It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It was then. It is now. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And it's your faith. Stop being divisive and detrimental. Let's just take a few days to get ourselves together. Don't waste a whole lot of time. Don't come here 6 months from now talking, Pastor, I'm almost there. Hell, we're halfway through the year. You're way behind. You gotta work quickly. You gotta gird up your loins. Go quickly. Nudge your name, say, go quickly. I give y'all 24 hours from this hour. 24 hours. But we can do this. Let God humble us. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's take the searing evaluation. We didn't do it. We fell behind. God, we thought we could. How many of you ever had that? I thought I could. Thank you. You're a good candidate. No, we thought we had this thing figured out, but we were wrong. And rather than coming together, little by little, we got torn apart. And you know, when distance comes, then comes disgust and disappointment and division. And it gets worse. And before you know it, we're not even in the same room anymore. And the devil sit back playing his fiddle. Said, I got him now. And so it is, beloved God. Let's not mess up a good thing. The saints of old built a reputation on doing this God stuff. My encouragement to you is get on board. Let God use you. Right where you are. The last thing I was going to tell you, and I'm done, but I wanted to say this to you, and this is really important. There will always be dividends. It'll pay off. I really had a lot to say right there, but I'm tired and can't get my voice right because I want to do a little preaching, but I can't. But there'll always be dividends. See, our problem is, We don't know how to look at spiritual paydays. Mm-hmm. I see, I got a lot to say right there. I wish I could. But you have to understand two things are critical in getting a spiritual payday. You have to be entire and resolute. See, that's good preaching. I wish I had time. You in other words, what I'm saying is you got to give up all of you and go all the way. I wish I could preach like I want to. But if you don't do that, you create a fraudulent environment. And a fraudulent environment cannot sustain itself on spiritual principles. I wish I could preach like I want. You have to go all the way with all of you. I'm starting to itch now. I don't know what that means. Somebody say something nice over me. Won't be tomorrow. But we're going to go. I'm done. That's all I guess I can say. I'm tired. We have an opportunity here. We're only so big, which is good. The devil wants to kill us. Every one of us, Donna, Darlene, Yvette. In the military, Brother Thomas and Brother Anderson know this. We had a simple thing in military that we don't leave nobody behind. We don't leave our comrades on the field of battle. We do the best we can to bring them home. And what started happening around here is we started watching people die. And didn't even try to get them back home. We got wounded bodies all over this church. People start out with just flesh wounds, and it just got worse. Rather than doing first aid and bandaging up the wound, we just sit back and go, good for you. Fix it yourself. You think you all that? Yeah, let's see who's going to help you now. And we got duped. We became a triage that could not even offer care to those who were wounded. And we limped around like that for years. Infections and rotting flesh and broken hearts, relationships that were fractured, and people didn't even want to be friends anymore, didn't want to love each other anymore. And we became a house not only divided, but destroyed. People start looking at us saying, y'all used to be. And we heard it. And we were too silly to defend ourselves by making the necessary corrections within. And so my prayer is that we don't mess up this good thing anymore. We can begin a process. And it begins with honesty, self-evaluation, that we can become God's church to God's glory, that God be first and forever, and that's final. We used to say around here that if God doesn't get any glory, we're not going to do it.